This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Peace, blessings and mercy be upon you all. Welcome back to my page. In this latest series of videos, we'll be unpacking the notion of salvation or the forgiveness of sin. But in order for us to attempt to understand its forgiveness, we need to familiarize ourselves with and explore the concept of sin. Agreed? In part one of the series today, we're going to be exploring the concept of both original sin and the inheritance of sin in the three major Abrahamic faiths, namely Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. We'll furthermore be touching briefly on the contrast between Paul's notion of salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ, peace and blessings be upon him, and the notion of individual responsibility and accountability for one's sins as upheld in the Torah and the Quran. Ready to get into it? Let's dive in. If we're going to analyze the notion of original sin and the inheritance of sin chronologically, we should really be starting with Judaism and its basis in the Torah, right? Instead, let's start by talking about the elephant in the room, the Abrahamic faith that conceives of original sin and the inheritance thereof in a way that contrasts dramatically with the conception of original sin and its inheritance in the other Abrahamic faiths. I'm speaking, of course, about the popular Christian conception of the inheritance of sin from Adam and Eve. The Christian doctrine teaches that sin is an inheritance for all the descendants of Adam and Eve who perpetrated the original sin against God. In Romans chapter 5 verse 12, for example, Paul writes that it is through Adam and Eve that sin and death entered the world, and that they are responsible for passing this burden on to all mankind as a result. In Paul's conception of the inheritance of sin, then, man exists in a state of perpetual condemnation by God for the sin they inherited at birth. The Paulian view is thus that God is perpetually displeased with mankind simply by virtue of their inheritance of original sin. It is in response to this very notion that Paul is able to construct the need for an external savior to bring salvation to the people, who would otherwise be incapable of earning forgiveness for the sin into which they were born. It is Paul who placed the responsibility for the salvation of all mankind squarely on the shoulders of Jesus Christ, and more specifically, Christ's death. Thus, despite the fact that the Torah, the teachings of Jesus Christ himself, and the revelation that followed him, the Quran, explicitly contradict Paul's notion of the inheritance of sin, and his proposal that the death of one be necessary for facilitating the forgiveness of many. According to the biblical Old Testament and the Torah, for example, one discovers that it has been made abundantly clear already that the child will not share in the sin of the parent, nor will the parent share in the sin of the child. The righteousness of the righteous will be credited to them, and the wickedness of the wicked will be charged against them. If man is born, as this verse suggests, without bearing the burden of the sins of his father, how then can all mankind be born bearing the burden of the sins of Adam and Eve? And let's not discount the fact that God has already forgiven Adam and Eve, but I digress. It is only in the Paulian doctrine then that sin became an inheritance from Adam and Eve, which condemns us to hell at birth unless we are baptized. In contrast, the Talmud and the biblical Old Testament clearly state that sin, or the responsibility, therefore, is not inherited or transgenerational. A similar message is found in the Gospel, or the biblical New Testament. In Matthew chapter 19 verse 14, Jesus is recorded as having said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." Thus could not be the case if children inherited the sin of their fathers, and their father's fathers, and their father's father's fathers, all the way back to Adam, and were therefore already condemned to eternal damnation, right? By saying that the kingdom of heaven belongs to little children, Jesus confirms that the hearts of children are pure, and that they are not guilty of transgression in the eyes of God, and bear no responsibility for the sins of their ancestors. Jesus is saying that the kingdom of heaven belongs to the children, for they have goodness in their hearts. It is Paul who later suggests that one would be bound for hell were it not for the salvation he invented through the blood of Jesus Christ. According to Jesus himself, then, the children were never in need of any ultimate sacrifice or blood sacrifice to secure their salvation, because they were already pure and kingdom-hearted despite Paul's suggestion of the contrary. In the Quran too, one reads that no bearer of burden will bear the burden of another. And even if a heavily laden soul calls another to carry some of its load, nothing of it will be carried. This flies directly in the face of Paul's assertion that Jesus could have died for the sins of mankind, as God makes it abundantly clear that no man can carry the sins of another. No man can be sacrificed as a penance for another's sin. One man's salvation cannot be bought by the death of another, in the same way that one man's burden of sin cannot become the burden of another. In Islam, then, every individual is responsible for their own sins, but also for their own good deeds and actions, which are rewarded by God based on individual merit and intent. The concept of inheritance of sin is thus entirely foreign to Islam, as it teaches that each person is born in a state of spiritual purity, but upbringing and allure of worldly pleasures may corrupt us. Islamically speaking, all of us will be judged according to our deeds, for man can have nothing but what he strives for. Who receives guidance then, receives it for his own benefit, and who goes astray does so to his own loss. No bearer of burden can bear the burden of another. In Islam, then, as Jesus Christ, peace and blessings be upon him, himself taught, no child is born into God's disfavor or born marked for eternal damnation until the performance of a ritual, like baptism. It would appear, then, that Paul defied the very decree of God when he created an entire concept of salvation around the death of Christ for the sins of mankind. We have already established that according to both the Old Testament and the Quran, no man can be punished or put to death for the sins of another. According to Deuteronomy chapter 24 verse 16, every man shall be put to death for his own sin. And according to Exodus chapter 23 verse 7, God will not justify the wicked by way of the slaying of the innocent and righteous. Quite literally, God states that there is no justification for the wicked in slaying of the innocent, or rather, no forgiveness for the sins of the sinner through the death of the innocent. In this case, specifically, the death of Jesus Christ. If you're wondering then, how man can and should go about seeking forgiveness for his sins from God, or when children inevitably become responsible for the sins they fall victim to as a result of the allure of this world, do make sure to subscribe to my page and to my YouTube channel, and to turn on the post notifications so that you can be alerted as soon as I publish part 2 of this video series, which will be focusing specifically on forgiveness and salvation without bloodshed. Until then, if you have any questions about any other content I have shared with you today, please feel free to contact me via my page and I'd be more than happy to share some additional resources with you. Alternatively, I'm always happy to engage in constructive and mutually respectful conversations in the comment sections or in my DMs. Until next time, Jazakallah khair.